Tonight on the subject of Thanksgiving. Be looking at different passages. You can follow along with me in the scriptures. But I want to introduce this study message by saying that my own perception is that genuine Thanksgiving as a reality is lacking, not only in our society, but I think it's also lacking in the church community. And by that I mean in a broader sense than just talking about us. I'm not poking a finger at us in this. And when you try to think of what is it that makes us thankless, well, one thing, we take things for granted. We think we have a right to things. We think everything's coming to us. We think that we should have everything we want. We hear and we talk about all the time the idea we deserve this. Or the commercials always say things like, you deserve it. Why do they deserve the thing they're pointing to? Usually it's something like a Mercedes or a Cadillac. Why do they deserve it? And why should they want it anyway? If they have the money, why should they be encouraged to spend it on something that's going to depreciate by 50% in 2 or 3 years? The whole thing is stupid. But the part of it that's not stupid is the part of it that's corrupt. And that's the idea of not ever, it speaks about what we deserve, but never about what we should be thankful for. Do you know, I believe that we should be thankful every morning we get up and we're alive. You know, you open your eyes and it's, wow, hey, Lord, thank you. I know it's not heaven because I'm expecting something a little more powerful than this, but this is pretty powerful anyway. I'm alive. I'm here in this world. I have an opportunity to live this day. And whatever the things are that we may live around and live for, they're there. And it's a new day with a new opportunity. And think about how few people genuinely start a day with thanksgiving to God for giving us a new day. And it is a blessing. And think about the many different blessings we just let pass by. But we shouldn't let them pass by. And we should be thankful. And think about what it's like without thankfulness. I think I've mentioned about a friend of mine that I had the opportunity to lead to the Lord, and he was a professor and slowly decided he wanted to become a pastor. And then in the midst of his studies, which got a little stale for him for a while, preparing for the ministry, he decided he was no longer a believer. And I could talk with him. My wife would talk with him. Nancy would talk with him. We would have many discussions. Nothing seemed to impact him. And one day he came and he said, I'm back. And I said, what is it that's brought you back? I'm just very interested. He said, I had no one to be thankful to. I had no one to thank for my food. I could claim it on me. I had no one to thank for anything. And then I realized I'm living in a thankless world without God. And you might say, that's a strange way for a true academic and a scholar to determine he was going to become a believer, but he had no one. There was no thankfulness in his life anymore without God. And he hated living a thankless life. Most of us, he was at least very introspective about the reality of what was happening to him without God. But for most people, they don't think. They don't think enough. What is it like when we live in a world without gratitude for anything, where we think we have a right to everything that's coming our way? I don't know if you... Well, I'm surprised if you haven't heard about the person who died who had the Ebola. I forget his name at this point. There was something that, to me, the whole deal with this guy who came from Liberia, who lied his way into the United States, was picked up by the leading hospital in Texas to deal with Ebola. They took him in, spent something like $30,000 a day on him to try and get him cured of the Ebola, and he died. Now, is there anyone who does not? I'm just curious, anyone who didn't know about that situation, because this is dealing with a huge problem that's happening right now in several African countries, and more people in the United States have now been found to have Ebola. Do you know what I'm about to tell you? Does anyone know what I'm about to tell you? It's the thing that, okay, you know, you don't have to say it, but you know what it is. So one person knows. Here's what it is that hit me of the whole thing. He died. By the way, he came and stayed with his family. He knew he had been around the person with the Ebola before he got on the airplane. You know how we know he knew? Because the woman had Ebola. He picked her up and carried her from one place to another place. And she died that night of Ebola. The next day he's taking a plane and saying in the declaration, I have not been around anyone with any kind of communicable disease, and certainly not Ebola. And he swears to that. He was let off in three different stops. So all those stops, he gets off the plane. That's the scrutiny they gave to him. Useless, you might say. And he was around people, thousands of people, who could have an exponential rate of contact. And his own family that he came to see were told, you must stay in quarantine for 19 days. They did not. They did not stay in quarantine for 19 minutes. They were out running around with him, and then he got sick. He went to the hospital. They made a mistake. They let him out. He came back in, and he died. And they worked on him, and they worked very hard to keep him alive. And the first thing they did, with gratitude for the work that was done to keep their uncle, in this case it was an uncle, alive, was to sue for a huge amount of money. I don't know. To me, I heard that. Is that what you were going to say? Well, they didn't say the family was thankless. They just said that they're suing for a huge amount of money, which indicates that it's thankless, greedy, selfish. And you might say, well, maybe they had a good reason. That hospital didn't even have to take him. He had no insurance. He had no money. It was going to be a huge bill that was picked up by the taxpayers. And that was it. And that was the response. What is it? What is going on in the world in which we live? It is a thankless, has a world with no gratitude for anything. And God watches and sees this, and he is grieved. And certainly within the context of the church, as I was trying to point out this morning, we have so much to be grateful for what he's done for us. If nothing more was done in our physical experience of life, just in terms of making us healthier, taking care of our illnesses, giving us more food or better housing or whatever, we should still be grateful to the God who has given us life. Life to come into this world, and then life to enter into the age to come in his presence, not in fire and darkness. So those are some of the bones I have to pick with ingratitude. To me, it's a tragic sin and a devastating one. The giving of thanks is something that, even if you're a Christian for just a very short time and you pick up the Bible almost casually, you're going to see thankfulness everywhere in the Bible. You can't escape being thankful. You can't escape it because it's a major theme. And it's not just thankful. Thanks. It's thanks to God. Thanksgiving to God. I want us to take a look at a few in each of the Testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Psalm 92, verse 1, it says, and I'm going to move fast, so if you keep up with me, it's great. If you don't, that's okay. It's good to thank the Lord and make music to his name, O Most High. By the way, I will go with not necessarily what you have in the Pew Bible. It might say praise, it might say blessing, and it may be a better translation to say thanks, or an equal translation. I'm using it that way, having gone through these. So don't be fretting. Sometimes they can be used synonymously as far as the Hebrew translation would require. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, Second Samuel 22, 49 through 51. We read, but that first one, you see, it's good to thank the Lord. Why give thanks? Because it's good to do it. It is good. It's good in terms of our relationship with Him. It's good for your own life. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 49 through 51. It's God who avenges, who puts out those under, who sets me free from my enemies, exalts me above my foes from violent men. You rescue me. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises to your name, or I will thank you, and I will praise you among the nations, sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victory. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Because you took me and you took care of me in the face of my foes. I am thankful to you for that. Think about when you face a difficult situation and you're brought through it. What's your response? You know, often in the midst of it, we are asking God for help. Please, Lord, help us. What about when we are helped? Do we say, Lord, thank you. You brought me through this. We looked to you and you took care of us. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34, we are to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. That's all it says. That's what we're going to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. It's the same as Psalm 136. Thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. In Psalm 7:17, some of these I'm just going to read you quickly. We are to give thanks to God because God is righteous. We should be thankful we have a righteous God. Think about the nations, the world filled with nations, filled with people who live under despotism, authoritarianism, totalitarianism, fascism. We have a God who's a loving God, who loves us unto even the sacrifice of His sin for us. In Psalm 26, verse 12, give thanks to God because of the firm foundation that He is. Psalm 26, 12. My feet stand on level ground in the great assembly. I thank the Lord. Or I praise the Lord. Both. They're synonymous. They're used interchangeably. Because you've given me a firm foundation. What is that foundation? That foundation brings us to the rock. It brings us to Christ. He's our rock. He is our foundation. And because of this, we give thanks. And then in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him. I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I give thanks to Him in song. Thank Him. Thank Him because of His protection for you, His mercy towards you, and the help that He gives to you. Thank Him. Be thankful to Him for this. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing to the Lord, you saints of His. Thank, praise His holy name. Because of His holy name, thank Him. Thank Him for a name that means in Yahweh, the eternal one, the eternal God, the one who forever is who He is. Thank Him because He takes that identity and uses it so that you can enter into eternal life with Him. You never become eternal, because you had a beginning, but you dwell forever with Him. Psalm 30, verse 4, and Psalm 105, verse 1. Give thanks to God because His deeds are great. The deeds of God, just think of what God has done. All that He's done is great. There's nothing that isn't great. His power, His wonders, His miracles, His mercy, His healing, His love, and His cross. It's great. In Psalm 118, verse 21, give thanks to Him because it's due to Him. He answers us. He hears us and He answers us. and he is our salvation. Psalm 118, verse 21. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 3, the Lord will surely comfort Zion, will look with compassion on her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. It's interesting, of all the things that are to be found in the dwelling of God's people that have been so incredibly blessed, it is the sound of singing and the sound of thanksgiving. And that's part of our life. You know something? Being a thankful person will change your life. If you're not thankful, it means that whatever you have, you're saying is not enough. Paul says in Philippians 4, I believe 11 and 12, he says, I've learned the secret of being content. I'm okay whether I have suffering, need, or if I have abundance. Now, he said he's learned the secret of this. What is the secret that makes him content? In other words, makes him to be thankful no matter what his situation is. I'm jumping ahead to the New Covenant for a minute, but just to give a principle of thankfulness, it's the fact that he says, I can do all things through him who loved me. And he gives thanks to God who enables him to do all things. He is content. He's thankful for that. Now, when he says he can do all things, he just simply means he can do all things that are put in front of him, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful they are, because he has learned a secret. He is filled by the one who takes care of him, who sees him through all these troubles. I've learned the secret. I'm content when I'm suffering need or have abundance, because I can do all things through him who continually fills me. And he's there to give us all that we need to face all that we have to face. Give thanks because God cleanses us from our sins. Jeremiah 33:8. He washes us. Sin is filthy. It's dirty. It's really dirty. Someone came to our place yesterday. We have some cattle that are out of his that are in a field. And he came and he left with cattle crap everywhere. I mean, it was everywhere. I had our grandchildren, three of our grandchildren were there. They were playing outside when I noticed this on the laneway. And I had to, I tried to do it with a shovel. I couldn't. I would have had to dig into the ground to do that. It was stuck, so I decided I'd just pick it up. After I picked it up and dumped it somewhere, I mean, piece by piece, Nancy said to me, why didn't you put on, like, plastic gloves or something? I hadn't thought about that. It was a pretty stupid thing not to think about, but I hadn't. But I just mentioned that only because the cleansing we really need, I mean, it's nice to be clean from something like that, but the cleansing we really need is the cleansing from sin. That's the kind of picture of sin. It's dirty, it's filthy, it's decaying, it's rotten. But give thanks because God cleanses us from sin. Jeremiah 33:8. And Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, give thanks because of your salvation. That is what we should be most of all thanking God for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. In the New Covenant, in Matthew 14:19, give thanks to God for your food, for what you eat. I was totally into Russian literature for a while. And my favorite author was Fyodor Dostoevsky, and then it was Alexander Solzhenitsyn. But Fyodor Dostoevsky wrote incredible books. Brothers Karamazov is, of course, the one that might be the most popular of his, well-known of his books, Crime and Punishment. I believe it's Dostoevsky. It's been a while, but I'm pretty sure I've got my authors right there. I'll pull in Noah again. But there's one little book, or is this one? No, this one would be Solzhenitsyn, so it's not Dostoevsky, the one that I want to mention. It's by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who is probably the greatest 20th century writer, I think, the greatest 20th century writer. Phenomenal, you should read. He wrote The Gulag Archipelago, about the Soviet penal system throughout the Gulag, the prison system in Siberia. But the book, One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich, deals with one day. Just one day in a prisoner's life in the Gulag. And I think, of course, this was Solzhenitsyn speaking about his own life. He spent 11 years in the Gulag. And it starts with him getting up at 4 a.m., being given a crust of bread and about a quarter of a glass of cold water, going out to work on building something in bitter, bitter cold with no gloves, a scanty kind of coverall to cover him, working through the day, all through the day in Siberia, in this bitter cold, working through the night, into the night, getting back, and being given a half a piece of bread, and he sits down. He takes the bread, and he just bows his head, and he thank you for my daily bread. And that overwhelmed me, that he would stop and with total seriousness. That was the end of the day. That's when he was given the bread and give thanks to God for giving him his daily bread. And we have such abundance and we don't think about it. We're not really thankful. It might be a formal kind of quick prayer. Thanks for this food. Let's eat. Let's get to it. Thanks. Amen. Here it is. It's Thanksgiving and we have so much to be thankful for. Really, you know, I don't know, I've been to probably 40 different countries, and some of them are wonderful places to visit. Some of them are incredibly, I've been into the worst, what's considered the worst, most impoverished, heartbreaking country in the world, and I spent a summer ministering there, and that's in basically in the city of Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. And I don't know if how much we even stop to say we're living in probably the greatest country in the world to live in. And I think it's a reality. And I don't know if we are thankful for that. When you realize where you could be and what could be your situation, give thanks, and we should be very, very thankful for things like that. Matthew 26, verse 28. We read, drink from it. This is my blood, the covenant which is poured out for any forgiveness of sins. We need to be thankful to God for Jesus Christ, who told us exactly what he was going to do, pour out his blood for us, give thanks to him. John 11:41, give thanks because God always hears you. In Romans 6:17, give thanks to God for your freedom. We're free. No idea what it's like to live in bondage, to be oppressed. And often in these countries, being oppressed for something that wasn't an evil, it wasn't a criminal deed, it wasn't a sin, it wasn't anything like that. It just happened to be that you were part of a group that the leadership wanted to get rid of. And here we are, we're free. We're free to work to make anything we want happen here. We're free for everything. And yet, we're we need to be those who are thanking God for the freedom He's given us to be able to live this way. Give thanks to God with the Psalms, Ephesians 5:19. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are referring there in 5:19 to the Psalter. The Psalms, hymns, and songs in the Psalter. And I think we should give thanks for having a book like that, a songbook like that, to guide us in our worship, and give thanks to God that with those psalms and with those songs, let them change your life. They'll give you a heart of gratitude because they speak with thanksgiving to God. Give thanks to God with overflowing thanksgiving in Colossians 2, 6, and 7. In Revelation 4, 8. Give glory, honor, and thanksgiving to God. Revelation 7 goes on. Give thanks for His strength and His power. Verse 11. Thank God for His strength and power, because there is no one else with power that can approach what God's power is. There's no force, there's no person, there's no cult movement, the Illuminati, the different groups that are said to be these international coalitions of evil. God is alone has such power, and we fear Him and fear Him alone. In Revelation 11:17, give thanks to God because He is a king and God reigns forever. Revelation 11:17. Thank Him for being our king who reigns forever. We never have to worry. He will never be dethroned. We will never have to worry about someone who takes His throne and masquerades in His place. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And for just a few minutes, to just apply this idea of thanksgiving for your life. The significance of thanksgiving, first of all. I think a topic that's mentioned from one end of the Bible to the other end is obviously really important for us. And I think one reason it's important is because there's very little that we can give to God. Remember, the Psalms will say, give thanks to God. Well, what is God? How many things does God ask you to give? He says, give obedience, be obedient, be loyal, be faithful. But give thanks to God. It's one of the few things. And it's not because it makes Him better as God. Our thanksgiving... It's not, I need this or I can't go on as God, I'm going to give up and give the job to someone else. It's something that's good to do because it helps us. It's a blessing to us. It makes our life better to live thankfully. I am telling you again, don't let your circumstances determine your gratitude, your thanksgiving. Give thanks, whether it's in good or bad times, painful or pain-free. It's not, if God heals me, I'll thank You forever. No. God, thank You. Thank You in my affliction. Thank You in my restoration. Thank You if there's no restoration. This is, I think, what we need to remember to look at. And remember... Secondly, that the heart of thanksgiving is giving thanks to God. And then you learn how to thank others as well. You know, it's interesting for me. When someone does something for me, I don't take it for granted. I'm not saying I'm looking for people to do things for me, but there are times when doing something for me has been a help. Real help. Even if it wasn't real help, if someone was wanting to help and does something, I could forget something, but I would never want to let it pass without being thankful. But and I think it's important. I think you learn it though from giving thanks to God, and so your life develops a pattern of being thankful. Someone does something, it's not just, okay, yeah, cool. No, it's thank you very much. But to God, it's Lord God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. And it should be every day. Because if it's not, it means, what are you doing? Taking for granted that he's giving you today? I can't even imagine taking for granted a day that God has given. This is the day the Lord has made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. And with that gladness and that rejoicing which we are to have, we should be thankful that we're able to be rejoicing and being glad. One of the amazing things you read about the real believers is that sometimes even when they were in prison camps, concentration camps, they were thankful even as they were facing death. It surprises some of us. It shouldn't, though. Because if we really believe what we say we believe, then our hope is not in long life. It's in Christ and the everlasting life that he gives through faith. And the heart of our thanksgiving is, of course, as I mentioned already, thanksgiving to God. The extent of our thanksgiving, it should be wholehearted thanksgiving. It should be a kind of ceaseless thanksgiving, along with rejoicing. Rejoicing always in the Lord. Well, how do you do that? You do it by faith. How do you do it? You do it by just realizing that he is worth our time, our energy, and the thanks that goes with that rejoicing. We're rejoicing for what we're thankful about. So thanks and joy go together. And the attitude, it's not as if he's taking time from you or causing you to waste your time because you're spending so much time thanking him. We could never spend too much time, and we will not use up eternity thanking God. Do you recognize that? Eternity itself could never, if it was filled with believers, if the heavens and the new earth were filled with believers, it could not fill up the space of what is beautiful and right and true and good in thanking God. And we would not say, I'm getting bored thanking him. We couldn't. Just to look upon God demands a kind of humble, reverent thanks and worship. Thanks for who he is and worship for what he's done for us. And who he is as well. He is God, true and living God in a world that just, I mean, you look at nations that started out, the colonies starting out down in the United States, 13 colonies, all of them coming because of Christian convictions to greater or lesser, but to a fair degree, and certainly all of them, to get away from places where they didn't have that opportunity and privilege of worship. And now, well, we have to give the Satanists the same right as the church to worship that we talk about with Christianity. Do we? Do we really? Only, yes, we do. When you come to a point where you don't recognize that there is only one true and living God, you can do that when you believe that life is just a bunch of lies and hypocrisy, and there's no truth, and there's no God. So yes, then the God of Wicca, and the God of Satanism, and the God of Krishna, and the Lao Tzu, and Buddha, they're all the same, but to God, they're not. They're all lies and distortion. And in this world, we're paying a price. And down south of us, they're paying a price for what they have done with God. Because God is not mocked. In a thankless place where God has given so much, to just turn away and say, the God of Satan the god Satan has the right to be worshipped, and ministers have a right to be. And so, yes, it's equal with Christianity, radical Islam. Yes, Islam is equal. No. What happens with that? God is not pleased. And it's you know what it says to me? It is a terrible thing to do things which do not please God. To deliberately deceive and destroy a nation with lies, many of them knowing that they're lies, but afraid to say they're lies. Afraid to say, I thank the living God of heaven and earth before whom I bow. Well, when we don't say that, when we refuse to say that, when we're terrified of saying that, then we become a nation not of indifferent people, we become a nation of idolaters. Because we wind up, it's no different, we're worshiping many gods, and God will judge a people of that nature. Well, it's just I want to just give a brief summary on Thanksgiving and some applicational points. And I don't know if I mentioned, did I mention an attitude of Thanksgiving? Did I? I can't remember if I did, what I was talking about just now. Let me just mention what an attitude should be. As I'm speaking, I'm not exactly sure what that attitude would be, except for a number of things that come to my mind. Our attitude should be humble in Thanksgiving. It should be worshipful in Thanksgiving. It should be profuse in our desire to thank God for things that are so amazing that He has done for every one of us. We're here. We've listened to the Word of God. We've worshipped the Holy God of heaven in a nation that has no sense as a nation, with all of the benefits it has, that it has those benefits by the mercy of God, who could just in an instant make us to be no different than what life is like in China, what life is like in the Middle East, in those nations, what it's like, you might say, with radical Islam. But I've been a number of times in Israel. I don't think it's any easier there. I was talking to someone this morning. I think it might have been you guys talking about going back to Israel, because I'm supposed to go. But, you know, going there right now, it's hard, it's dangerous, it's deadly because of what's going on, yes, and there's judgment there. How can there not be judgment in whatever the land is that is not thanking the true and living God for what they are and what they have? My Jewish people think that they have what they have because they're strong and powerful warriors. They have what they have because of a remnant blessing from the old covenant, which they had better recognize and do what's called to, as I see in Romans 11, repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, in faith. What's the attitude of our thanksgiving? That we owe Him everything. There is nothing we have that we did not receive. As it says, what do you have that you did not receive? Well, you tell me, what do you have that you did not receive? You're pretty smart. You got a PhD. It's because you're so great? No, it's because He gifted you. He gifted you. That's the way I see it. I shouldn't have gotten it. I'm not smart enough. You are. I know. You're a pretty smart guy. These things by God's grace. What are we to be? Thankful. Grateful to God. We've been given a home, a family, a church, a place to live, a place to worship. We don't have to say, okay, keep someone at the door in case the police come so that we can get out of here. And no, we're free to worship. What does that mean? We deserve it? No, why do we deserve it more than anything? Thank Him for it. Thank God for everything. Well, let's take some time. Perhaps it's a good opportunity for us to just thank God and thank Him. I'll close in the due season, but, and I know we don't have many of us here, but if anyone would like to just thank God, thank Him. If you want to bear testimony to such thanksgiving, bear testimony to it. Remember that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, and thank God for such glorious love on His part that He sent His Son for us.